Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to review MLW Fusion 190, contract signing for the main event of Fightland in 2 weeks, but first, the news. We have a batch of things coming out of, we'll just call it the general live event schedule for MLW. I'm going to read these kind of out of order, just more for categorical purposes. Actually, I'm going to start with One Shot, because it's been previously announced that Matt Cardona will take on the winner of Jacob Fatu and Alex Kane. At One Shot, which is 12-7, December 7th, at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. They did add a caveat to this year match, because at Fightland, Mance Warner is taking on Matt Cardona in a Loser Leaves MLW match, so they've put in writing that if, for whatever reason, if Cardona loses his match with Mance Warner and is forced out of MLW, that a surrogate member of the World Titan Federation will get the title opportunity in Cardona's stead. But we are getting that match. It is official. Cardona / WTF matey will be taking on whomever happens to be the MLW World Heavyweight Champion at One Shot. But let's move things closer to home. 2 weeks, November 18th, is MLW Fightland, hosted, broadcasted on Fight Plus. One new matchup has been announced. By now, it's like old news because it's been like a week since they announced it, but they like to drop things like right after I release this year podcast. But there is now a ladder match. It is official. They put pen to paper. Officially speaking, the Second Gear crew will be taking on The Calling in a ladder match for the MLW Tag Team Championship. These two groups have been feuding for bloody ever now in various violent matchups. This looks to be possibly the big blow-off between the two groups. So we will see how well the two big brawlers handle a guy who will jump off anything and a cowboy who just cowboys. Also announced for the show, Veda Scott will be debuting as a backstage interviewer. If you're not familiar with her work, she's been doing a bit more commentary for various independent promotions, but she did get her start as a wrestler / backstage interviewer. So she is coming in, taking the place of Sam Laterna, doing the backstage investigative reports. So welcome, Veda. Big fan of her work, so I'm excited to see what she will bring to the table for Major League Wrestling. Also, to go along with these tapings at Fightland, the Fusion tapings have announced two more matches, multi-person matches, if you will. The first is a three-way tag team match with the team of Wasted Youth, which is Marcus Mathers and Dylan McKay, making their MLW debuts. And if you're not familiar with their work, like, those guys are, like, flying under the radar in the realm of... gonna screw that up. But, you know, keep it in, warts and all. Those two have flown under the radar in the realm of independent wrestling, putting on consistently great matches. I got to see them take on Becca previously for Beyond Wrestling in a freaking amazing tag team match, or like tag team match of the year, honestly. And so I'm excited to see what they will do. They will also be battling Austin Luke and Lucky 13. Been a big fan of Lucky 13 for quite some time. The dude just got himself in amazing shape for someone who's already got like the in-ring Neo shooter capabilities. Dude is kind of like the epitome of hybrid wrestling, is that he can brawl, he can fly, he can do technical stuff as well. And I feel like the only reason he hasn't made a bigger splash elsewhere is that he's like Rey Mysterio sized, but jacked to the gills now, so, you know. But I'm glad to see him getting a break. And then last but not least in that three-way tag team match is the main event. You know, nothing I can say about them I haven't said already. Just hoping for the best for them at this point. Big fan, but like, they're kind of getting the short end of the stick in MLW. In addition to this triple threat tag team match, we'll have a triple threat match for the featherweight championship as Jinai Kai of promotion known as Dorado defends her title against former champion and friend of the show, Delmi Exo, and Tiara James. So one person isn't enough for Jinai Kai. She's got to have a triangle match where she doesn't even have to be pinned to lose the championship. Either way, this match should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to both these matches, actually. They will be car crashes in the best way possible, as far as I'm concerned. But we're going to have to take it down a notch. I've been reluctant to talk about this because it's kind of getting kind of dirty. But, you know, people who've been paying close attention to MLW, you know, the last couple of months, have kind of seen a whole slew of workers just kind of up and vanish or finish up with the company. Most recently, the Samoan SWAT team, Juicy Finau and Lance Anoa'i noted that their contracts have eventually been released from, but the MLW kind of just stopped calling them for a bit before they were released from their contracts. But we've gotten a couple of chunks that have just kind of come into the limelight of varying degree of, oh dear. First of which is Sam Laterna, who has been nothing but positive about it. She noted that she has finished up with the company a couple of weeks ago, is moving on to other products, or projects, excuse me. I wasn't familiar with her work before she come in, and she definitely won me over as, a very competent backstage interviewer. So no public shade on that one. But I've been remiss, and this has been building for a bit, but I've just kind of been trying to wait for things to kind of either A, settle down, or just to kind of get some closure for it, and it looks like that's not going to happen per se. It's probably going to get, at best, it's going to get uglier before it gets better, or we're just not going to hear about it again. But unofficially speaking, Alex Hammerstone is finished with MLW. He is publicly acknowledged a couple of weeks ago that he's asked for his release. And that it has not been granted yet. There are some other rumors that are going into why he's being why he has asked for his release. I'm not going to touch on them because I've never gotten confirmation for it, so I'm not going to report on it. I'm not going to just air dirty laundry that may not actually be true or whatnot, or at least not public knowledge and that sort of good stuff. This past week, Hammer tweeted out a video kind of giving an update on his contract situation and giving a little bit of his side of the story of noting that he's still under contract, but he's had next to no contact with upper MLW management. He's had some contact with some of middle management folk. And despite being under contract, he has not allegedly received any booking offers from them in the last couple of months, despite still being under contract. Again, this is one side of the story, and MLW has chosen not to publicly acknowledge this story, which I get it. That's business. You don't always go around trying to air all the dirty laundry that people are bringing up for you. But that being said, I take the opinion, and regardless of what the impetus was for it, is that at a certain level, especially if a contract is non-exclusive, if a person's not happy working for you, let them go. Hammer's given some good years, but he's been there for quite some time. He's been there for 5 or 6 years now, which is kind of an eternity in wrestling, and for better or for worse, he's been a little bit stale despite being champion basically up until his last match with the company. However, if he's ready to go, let him go. You're paying him to do nothing. You're not giving him any bookings, and he's allowed to go take other bookings as long as they don't interfere with MLW. So he's going out and taking other bookings anyway. You might as well free up some cap space, if you will, to use other sports analogies, and get someone else who is looking for that opportunity to work with you guys, or even if it's in the short term, bring in a bigger name or something of the like. But I think that's kind of interesting. We'll still kind of play it by ear, see if MLW acknowledges it, or if Hammer just gets his release and gets to go on his merry little way. Also, this past week, we got a statement from the King of Strange Style, Ares, noting, this is where it gets really kind of weird and dirty, that that he is still under MLW contract. He's requested his release, and he's not heard anything from them. So he's basically taken to the public forum to kind of force their hand. So he's under contract with, he's still under contract with the MLW, despite not being used in over a year, which that itself is crazy go nuts. But he also puts over that when he signed his MLW contract, he didn't have a work visa to come to America, which I don't know, I half blame that on AAA because AAA is also shady AF. But yeah, so like he couldn't like legally work in America, and I guess they technically lowballed him as well. But you know, that one's more like he signed the contract anyway. And again, like if you're using AAA as a mediator, that's partially on AAA as well. But like it's just crazy go nuts that. If he's to be believed, he's been under contract this entire time since the Strange Sangre stopped being a thing, and they've just not used him. Like, that's just insane to me that you would be paying these people a rate. And I'm guessing if you're going to sign them to, like, a standard contract, even if it's not exclusive, you're paying them a flat rate per, like, month even. Excuse me. And just to, like, keep paying this money to not get anything out of it, ultimately, is just insane to me. So, though, the follow-up to that is that MLW has granted the release of Ares and Aramis. And if it has not been relayed through AAA, like, that's not in their hands. Which, like, MLW, as much as I love MLW, they sometimes get a little shady. But you know who's more shady? Lucha Libre. Yeah, so that's some of the stuff that's kind of been going on in the background, contract-wise, with a handful of talents. But yeah, so that was kind of a downer. So, let's take a moment to hit the reset button. I don't know, grab an energy drink, and, I'll just see ya un momento with MLW Fusion 190. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. Let's pick things up. That was the downer. Let's get back up to the cool stuff as I slap my knee. It might even be audible that I'm slapping my knee with my notes. 190 Fusion. Big contract signing to main event the show tonight, if you will. We are opening the show with a hype package, primarily focusing on Alex Kane, and that's on Beaumaye, but also acknowledging the title fight between himself and Jacob Fatu. We then have our introduction. Welcome to the show by Joe Dombrowski, Matt Stryker. Run down the card for tonight and some of the big news over the week, including the ladders match and our contract signing later on tonight. But before we get into too much detail, let's have ourselves a opening contest. We got a debut happening 2 weeks in a row. Tonight is Top Guy Griffin McCoy taking on Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. We talked briefly about McCoy prior. When it was first announced that he was appearing for MLW, mostly a West Coast guy, been wrestling for about 6 years or so. And let's see what he can do. Let's see what he brings to the table. Lots of trash talking. He's a talker, kind of like that, actually. Match starts off with the graps. Unfortunately, you really shouldn't grapple with Tracy Williams, because, dude, Sauce can go. And he is a superior mat grappler of the two. However, McCoy gets a lucky shot in and gets the opportunity to work over Tracy's arm. Big wrist clutch overhead sue play, though, but that doesn't give Sauce the advantage for terribly long. Got lots of cocky offensive stylings before just finally just pisses off sauce enough that he fights back. We get chops and a teardrop suplex. Sauce drops McCoy face first on the top buckle, like almost like a DDT. That looked gnarly. Locks him in the STF, but McCoy eventually gets the ropes. We have a strike battle inside the ring, and this is where McCoy really, like, actually shines. That's kind of his thing. He's a striker, according to my research. Kind of, like, takes the lead on that, but Sauce out-wrestles him once again. Sauce goes to go for a pile driver, and the ref, filled with bias and incompetence, I'll go there, somehow gets taken out on a pile driver attempt. And when I say a pile driver attempt, I mean Sauce lifts up McCoy and the ref somehow gets kicked in the face. Dude. That's all I have to say about that. However, McCoy uses this here opportunity to hit a low blow, followed by a half and half suplex and the sunset kick to put Sauce away. So big debut victory for Griffin McCoy. And I'm curious to see where this kid will go. I actually compared to BRG, whose debut I felt was a wee bit lackluster. Like this cocky little prick, he might have something here. Like I think I didn't hear his weight. He might be a solid addition to the middleweight division though. He's got a nifty little moveset. Kind of a guy I want to see get slapped around, actually. Talks way too much, which, in my opinion, that's a pro when you're that's a pro move when you're a heel. We'll see, what else he does for MLW. Following this, we get a highlight package from last week of all of Cardona's interactions backstage, him getting a new car, evidently, he took out Mr. Thomas, blamed it on Fatu, which then led to Alex Kane and Jacob Fatu going back and forth. They see through the ruse and go after Cardona and or his brand new BMW, ending the show with Fatu stealing the new BMW. That was a whole lot of fun last week, actually. Following this, we get a state of the Fed for WTF, Mr. St. Laurent. Is in the office. He talks about Fatu. He's going to get a receipt for stealing Cardona's brand new car. He gets really serious. He takes off his glasses. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Mr. St. Laurent without his sunglasses. Like, that's crazy, go nuts. And then he puts them back on and goes back into sheer, like, hype mode. Talking about the big logo reveal, the brand new logo for the World Titan Federation. And it is totally a knockoff of the 1980s World Wrestling Federation logo. Neon, big gold trim, letters kind of interconnected and all that sort of good stuff. So, hey, you had something going there, and then back into the quiche. But, never mind that. Let's move on. Second match of the night. Riley Crowe will be taking on Janai Kaine with Selena De La Renta. I am not familiar what a Riley Crowe is, but she's got some spunk to her. Like, maybe good things will come of this. And the match is over. Cool. bell rang, kick to the face, and a couple of ground and pound punches before referee Frank Gastineau calls the fight. Ref stoppage. Janai Kaine wins the match. And wow. Like, that was crazy go nuts, man. I can't even give it, like, that's my review. That was crazy go nuts. It was almost like an early low-key match, except I'm pretty sure this was a work, unlike low-key knocking people the F out. Sam Laterna tries to have a word with Selena and Janai Kaine. She gets kicked away by Selena. Selena does a proper introduction for Janai Kaine, just for Janai to go, kick demon. And that's it. That is all our little violence gremlin is going to say. Following this, we have a video for The Calling. RSP is putting over Cannonball, much to the chagrin of Akira. Commentary puts over this fact on the stage when RSP comes out and is like, get my name out of your mouth and put some respect on my name. And the Second Gear crew come out and brawl away with Ricky Shade Page. That was fun. we get a Fightland control center. We're going to skip over that because I touched on Fightland prior to this here review. Sam Letourneau is backstage with Rocky Romero. He puts over Mascarado Dorada, but dumps on Ichiban. No respect for the number one dojo. That makes me sad. Following that, they brought out the shambling corpse of Don King. He says some things, like, they might have been different than the other stuff he says, but I get the distinct feeling that he wasn't talking about the, specifically about the Jacob Fatu-Alex Kane match. I think he was just like, the next fight is gonna be the fight that cements Alex Kane as the champion of the future. And, you know, it's me paraphrasing and just making things up as I go along, but... hey, at least they brought out the shambling corpse of Don King again. Yeah, props for that. Next, we get a hype video for Tiara James. She's getting a shot at the MLW Featherweight Championship at the Fusion tapings surrounding Fightland. So we'll see how she gets hyped up for this here event. We also get some breaking news that at One Shot, Ricky Shane Page will be taking on Jimmy Lloyd for the National Openweight Championship. Fresh defense. I don't think he's defended that title since, that the last big event whose name escapes me, and I'm not going to hit pause to look this up. Slaughterhouse, there we go. It came to me eventually. While it was coming to me, Tom Lawler has a microphone. He's already tired of Alex Kane as champion. So at Thanksgiving Fusion, they're going to have a filthy feast as the Beaumaye Fight Club takes on the World Titan Federation. So it looks to be the tandem of Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas taking on Matt Cardona and Filthy Tom Lawler. I assume this also, comes into play if Cardona is still employed by MLW at this point. You know, loser leaves town, etc. But before we can ruminate on that too much, Midas Black is out. He is welcoming us to the main event. Huh, probably my favorite team in MLW that's not getting their due diligence by the management, as far as I'm concerned. They are taking on the Beaumaye Fight Club tandem of Mr. Thomas and O'Shea Edwards. They are brought to the ring by Jay Bougie. It looks like we're going to start off with Midas Black and Edwards, but Edwards is like, nah, I want the fake heavyweight, and referring to Jay Lyons. So we're going to have big meaty men slapping meat. They pinball back and forth before Lyons picks up the speed a bit with some strikes, sending Kaiju outside the ring. Mr. Thomas is sent out in the ring as well by Midas Black. This allows Lyons to go through a hoop of real fire with his Hilo Suicida. That's what I'm going to call it anyway, his suicide dive that he does the somersault with. Get back in the ring, though, and it's all big bad Kaiju, baby. O'Shea Edwards just tramples everyone. I think there's a blind tag in there, but they get a real tag just for measures. We get a power slam by Kaiju. Mr. Thomas hits a big spinning sidewalk slam on both members of the main event. Finish things off with an assisted powerbomb on Midas Black to give the Beaumayes a victory. It's a fun match, short match. Again, like, how they're using the main event is criminal, but, like, at least for this, like, they're like, it kind of served a purpose to really kind of hype up the Beaumaye Fight Club, who kind of needed it after Bougie, you know, got beat last week and Mr. Thomas was found in the garbage and whatnot. And honestly, like, as much as I like the main event, I actually like O'Shea Edwards more. So anytime I get to see O'Shea Edwards just crush people, I'm down for it, baby. So, you know, finding the silver lining in that there match. And it wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. It was short, it was sweet, people got their stuff in, and it was a lot of fun to watch. Like, it was just filled with action, nonstop action. All right. Oh, looks like we're winding down here. Backstage, Mance Warner and the one called Manders are in a hallway with a marker board. Matthew Justice is running late. I'm assuming he killed a man. Like, seriously, I just found out. Like, I don't know how people aren't talking about this, but I found out, like, 4 years ago, dude just murdered Doug Bradley on stage at a wrestling event. And it was crazy go nuts. I have footage of it on my Twitter. or X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, Cucumber, at the Nova of Cast. So you might have to dig a bit because it's been a few days since I posted it. But yeah, Justice straight up murdered a dude. So I am no longer going to say anything bad about Matthew Justice if I really even said anything bad about Matthew Justice. Anyway, never mind that. Marker board. Mancer has given us some alphabet math, ultimately with the goal in mind to get all the gold and go to the pay window when the calling attack and they brawl throughout the hallway. Finally, we have Court Bauer. It is time for our contract signing. He is bringing out Alex Kane and Jacob Fatu. Has an odd pronunciation of Fatu, but whatever, it's the boss, so I guess I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, just in case one of these days he actually, hands me a contract. I will be a veritable court jester, if you will. Pun fully intended. Evidently, Kane takes offense to the fact that Fatu is not wearing shoes to a contract signing, so they're already yelling at each other. Matt Cardona shows up for some odd reason, too, and, so the people start throwing punches, and Cardona just ducks the first punch and just ducks out. Mr. St. Laurent just shows up, cheerleading everything, as we're having a big old pull apart to end the show. I don't know what happened there, but it was... I just like the fact that this, Cardona didn't even have to show up. They were going to throw punches anyway, because they were already heated by the fact that Jacob Fatu wasn't wearing shoes. Dude, when does the dude wear shoes? I am not entirely sure I've ever seen that dude wear shoes, and now it's disrespectful to not wear shoes at a contract signing. They were totally going to come to blows over that when Cardona showed up for no apparent reason anyway, just for fun. Whatever. I can't begrudge a man for generating that much chaos, because, let's face it, if I had that kind of stage presence, oh, maybe I'd be causing that much chaos if I could, man. But... oh, yeah, so that's how Fusion ended. I feel like the downside is the matches outside of, the McCoy's debut felt fairly inconsequential. The backstage stuff, a lot of stuff happened, but I'm not sure it necessarily forwarded anything outside of maybe the contract signing, but we already knew, that was going to be chaos waiting to happen, because that's the rule in professional wrestling. If there's a contract to be signed, someone is probably going through a table. And if there's a cake, someone's going to wear it. Those are, the two cardinal rules of professional wrestling. So, we expected that to happen. But yeah, as much as maybe there wasn't storyline progression per se, it was action-packed. I can't complain too much about it, because I definitely was not bored watching it. There was always something happening. And really, honestly, the biggest sin a wrestling company could probably make in terms of the entertainment front is to be boring. So... that is how they're ending the show, so we should wind down this show again. Once again, begging for a job. Hey, Court Jester, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But in the meanwhile, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. Stay tuned for the best ways to help support this here podcast and get all those plugs out of the way. In the meanwhile, though, I'll see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/casanova, where for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out.
You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, at comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.